greater than anticipated. The facility is expected to have is expected to be compliant with FAA and FCC regulations. These govern the how do you say the signal that comes out of them, whether it's electromagnetic, microwave, whatever, and is designed to have a certain set of tolerances that are acceptable for humans to be around. As long as it stays within those tolerances, as dictated by the FCC, these are federal regulations, there should be no impact to anybody who's surrounding those towers. The structure is going to have, it'll have a small, you know, hut next to it, so all of the use really is internal to that. When there is visits to the site for maintenance, it will have a backup battery system, so there shouldn't be any generators creating any loud noise or anything. We do have a condition on this tower to seek fire marshal approval to protect surrounding buildings, because it does have that battery system and a lot of electrical equipment. So based on the surrounding property, it is not expected to have any substantially greater impact, and that meets the third test of code. Based on our tests of code, we find that the Planning Commission should approve the resolution 2017-06 based on that is staff recommendation.
Thank you for your staff report on this resolution. Do we have any questions from commissioners for staff? Travis?
We do have GCI and Rufina Shaisnikov signed up to speak.
Okay, can we get GCI to come up too first, and then we'll have Rufina after.
Sure thing, thanks. So honestly, I think the biggest challenge we face in wireless tower siting is the fact that demand for wireless services is often the greatest in residential areas, and that requires the placement of a tower facility near a residential area in order to provide that service. You know, for people to be able to send text messages and check Facebook and use the internet on their phones, make phone calls from their phones in their residences, we do have to build a tower site that provides that service near a residential area. So we're usually we go through the same process we've gone through here. We look for sites that are non-residential uses that are in close proximity to residences to be able to meet that demand, provide that emergency, on the base level, that emergency service access, and then the level that people really want is, being able to, again, do all those things, to check Twitter and et cetera on their phones. We understand that that's a challenge. It's always a dilemma that we face. Here we've selected this site, again, because it is a commercial use. The use that's on the property currently, we believe, will be compatible with this tower. The tower is actually very short for the kinds of towers that we build, 65 feet, so it's relatively unobtrusive compared to different types of facilities that could be constructed. Because it's a little higher on the valley wall, it's able to provide coverage to the entire area through one single site, rather than having to, often if we don't build one site that's up high, we end up building multiple sites that are down low, or an extremely tall site down low. As I noted previously, the towers are engineered to withstand 130 mile per hour winds. They're fenced for safety to keep out any children or teenagers who might think it might be interesting to try and explore the tower site. And we will again comply with FCC standards, which do govern RF radiation exposure. So we're here to answer any questions that you might have about this site.
Any questions from planning commissioners?
I do. So you guys couldn't. If she has buildings coming, mm-hmm. and it's going to be residential, and you're paying high taxes for these properties, she's not going to want to come out her door and see that thing, especially with kids in there. I mean, come on, you're not going to want to own a piece of property. You're going to walk out the door and look at this thing. So, that's one. And it's not even a mile away from it if she puts houses there. So that's the first concern. Second, how come we can't find another spot for them? There's a lot of commercial places out the valley. Gotta be able to find another one, not so close to residential, where people want to build stuff. I mean, those taxes are gonna be pretty high on there, you know, on that property, when she builds stuff on there. I would rather see the city make the money than, you know, somebody not wanting to come out their door, and it's not even a mile away. Thanks.
You're looking at me, so I don't know if you want a question from me or an answer from me.
I'd like to see you guys kind of agree, because, you know, it's not even a mile away.
My comment or comment and to address your inquiry or statement would be a question back to Ms. Shysenikoff. She's stated she's owned that property 30 years and is now in a position to move forward with the development of it. That's a long time to own property, and I'd be interested in knowing what her development plans are, if we wanted to really turn it down based on that, because I'd rather have a development in hand versus one that's speculative when we're coming to a discussion about improving the telecommunications on the island. As far as investigating other options, I think the applicant has demonstrated they've investigated at least four. I'm not sure if that was four per tower or four total.
Yeah, could I? I mean, we looked at, and I just was touching base with Cindy to understand. So there are four sites that we looked at in great depth. We did. I mean, what Cindy does is she goes and looks at the entire land use map of the area and tries to pinpoint everything that might be zoned to permit a tower. Again, things that are non-residential. And the challenge in this area, is that my understanding is that the other commercial sites are located lower in the valley, and again, don't meet that. We have, unfortunately, fairly narrow site selection criteria here because we need the line of sight connection to the haystack facility. It can't just be a site that provides service if it can't connect to that. There isn't a fiber system here that can link into the tower. It has to be able to see that haystack site directly. So even on that water tower site, just being on the other side of the property completely makes that site, it rules it out entirely. So the challenge here is that the number of sites that can be considered is very limited with that requirement, keeping that requirement in mind.
So that location that you speak of, where you currently have the existing tower, it's that little short tower. So you're saying by attaching the equipment to that tower that's there doesn't have line of sight?
The tower that's there won't support the equipment, and we don't own that tower, so we don't have the power to make that tower better.
And what if you built your tower in that location or somewhere?
That's the challenge. We were offered other locations on that piece of property, but we'd have to be basically on the other side of the water tower, which means that we don't have the line of sight connection.
Any further comments from commissioners?
I do. Why don't, I mean, we can rezone a piece of property to commercial, you know, through this process. So I feel that we're not limited. I mean, you're looking at just commercial sites that you can go ahead and build on right now, but we could theoretically go through the process of having a piece of property, zoning it commercial, and then proceeding with that. My concern is this one piece of property is in the middle of all residential, and I just am having a little bit of an issue with it.
I think the challenge is that we don't own, we're not a property owner, so we'd need a property owner to decide that they wanted to have their property rezoned, and we need you guys to be able to not run afoul of spot zoning restrictions by applying a specific rezone to one property for one purpose, which I understand is not actually permissible. So the challenge, those challenges are definitely, I mean, if somehow this happened over time, it might provide an option. The other alternative is the time constraint that we're really seeking to provide system improvements on a time frame that improves service here in a meaningful way in a reasonable amount of time. So that's another challenge that we run up against.
And on the other side, we need this to happen. So we have to weigh the importance of the two and make the appropriate decision. So.
Lottie, did you have a comment?
I was just curious how much the phone rate's going to go up per month because of this now.
I don't believe our rates will change at all, but I know, so there should be no change in phone rates.
Travis?
So on your PowerPoint presentation, it said limited speed 4G LTE. Mm-hmm. So basically, we won't have the same speed as what they have in Anchorage, but it would have the capability if we ever had fiber or something. Is that what that means?
Yeah, if there was ever a subsea fiber run out to in Alaska, then you would be able to, my understanding is you would be able to have the same speeds that you would have in Anchorage. The challenges, which sounds like you're familiar with because of the nature of your question, this market is connected back to the broader telecommunications grid via satellite connection, which will always have some limit on the speeds that are available here.
And sorry to follow up on that. And so with these upgrades and these towers going in, when would this service be available, I guess, this new upgraded service?
We're targeting June of this year, depending on when we're able to have towers built.
I have a couple comments. Thank you, first of all, for your great presentation. It was nice. Mm-hmm. And it is long overdue. And I get that, you know, land is limited. I also get that, you know, nobody wants to have a piece of equipment on their backyard, but land is limited. And if we want to move forward, sometimes, you know, you're going to have a house that is not this beautiful structure, but it is, it's going to be hard. It's like, what does the public want as well?
I completely understand. Yeah, I understand. I mean, I think on the flip side, we would say that good service also is something that especially young people are seeking and working professionals are seeking. So it's something that can, on the flip side, provide some value to a residential area.
Further discussion?
Sure. Typically, when you have a fence around the structure, how high is it and what measures do you take to ensure safety from kids and hoodlums and all that?
Sure. I think, Cindy, do you want to speak to that? I think it's 8 feet here, right?
It's 8 feet, yes.
It's an 8-foot tower, yes. And we have, I mean, this tower doesn't have the climbing pegs, right?
No, it doesn't have that.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything. So when we do build a monopole, sometimes we'll take the climbing pegs off the lower half of the tower to make sure that it's not an attractive nuisance or people who might think it'd be fun to try and scale it, but we don't have them in this type of structure.
Travis?
One more thing about the light. You said the FAA, they may require it or they don't know for sure, because, I mean, it just kind of adds insult to injury as far as having it there, but then a blinking light.
Yeah,
kind
understood.
Of an annoying thing for somebody to look at.
So we're still waiting for our determination of no hazard back from the FAA. And we, again, are required to light if they require us to light. This is a relatively short tower, so the likelihood is lower than if it were a taller tower. But again, we will take whatever measures are required by the FAA for aircraft safety. Again, it's a challenge everywhere in Alaska because people live close to airstrips. It's a matter of course here. Yeah.
We already passed the other resolution, but I thought about it earlier. I just forgot to ask about it, the one at Captain's Bay on the beach there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it up and away in case we ever had a tsunami?
That's a good question. I think it's not in... Can you speak to the flood zone there? Or?
To be honest with you, I don't know for sure. It is a 100-foot tower. I'm sorry, I
think
I don't
if I remember correctly, it's supposed to be 100 feet inland, too.
Thomas?
That's not something we looked into. I hadn't considered that particular event. It's above the waterline. It's not exactly elevated, that piece of property. I really couldn't make any estimation as to how well it would stand up to that kind of event. I mean, Captain's Bay Road is maybe, 20 feet off the water level, and it's level with the road. So,
it would go down with everything else.
Probably. I think in that event, the fuel tanks would be in trouble too.
The fuel tanks are in trouble. That whole property's in trouble at that point.
Right. Travis.
So kind of to follow up on that there, if one of these towers fails, the rest of the system will still work. Let's say that one got wiped out or somebody crashed into it with a crane or something. You would still have service throughout the rest of town, right?
Yeah, the other towers would continue to work.
Any more commissioner discussion?
I have one for staff. Can you point out the actual Shiznikov subdivision for me in that one picture? What just wasn't clear enough. I just like to see the overall.
Sure. The Shiznikov subdivision actually encompasses a very large area. It's two or three of them that actually have the same name. But it pretty much starts on Yetchmanoff Drive here, curls around this property, goes up to this lot here. So it comes from it basically surrounds Yetchmanoff Drive and comes down here this way. So it's this general area behind it. It's a fairly large area. There are 12, I believe, properties in that area.
Thank you.
Lottie, did you happen to have anything else then?
Nope.
Any further discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to come up, you can have the floor now for Fina.
Just to remind you that that 30 by 30 foot tower area is what, about 20 feet from the road on the Yetchmanoff Drive, and my lots are right across, so this tower is going to be probably 50 feet maybe from that wall to that wall, from the house first, at least a couple of the lots, the houses on a couple of lots, I don't know, maybe even closer, whatever the width of the road is. What's the road was 25 feet? So it could be closer than 50 feet. My house is 40 feet long, and that's not very far. And then the two other lots up, I have two lots that are right behind Jimmer's place where the tower is, two lots that are about road level, another lot over here, and then it steps up where the rock is there, it steps up, and there's two more lots up there, which are the view lots. So those the middle of the tower is going to be right in the line of view of the big windows that'll be overlooking the valley and the town. So it will be obstructing a lot of view. And I don't suppose Jimmer's place will always be a dive shop, or always be. I assume someday it might become residential. What was the other thing? Oh, towers do create wind. They create noise. Excuse me, they do create noise. It just comes from things that are tall, like buildings. If you go up between the PCR, on the other side of the PCR, there's always a tunnel of wind blowing there because it heights creates wind. Maybe GCI has a lot of money. Maybe they could let these women stay here for a few more days and look for another piece of property, since they were under the impression that this was not a residential area. And they said this was not a residential area, and it was assuming that Jimmer was, you know, it was just one commercial business in this whole area. And so I'm assuming they didn't really look that hard. So get the map out and a straight line and start looking for something else that is a straight line to Haystack, and maybe down in the middle of the valley there's something. I'm sure there's something else up there besides this place. And I have to sell the lots because I'm 66 years old, and it's time for me to lighten my load. And thank you.
Thank you, Rufina. Do we have any further questions, commissioners, for tonight on this resolution? And if there's, yes, staff, go ahead.
And the question about what the tsunami regulations are, I'm not certain that what that requirement is coming from, if you point me in that direction. We don't have FEMA maps here. You're not a flood zone community, so you don't have flood insurance. So we certainly don't have the ability to look at any of those issues. As far as we can look into what your tsunami regulations are, if there's something here, but I mean, as you say, you already have a lot of these matters already in that zone, if there is such a thing. When it comes to spot zoning, this is a conditional use permit process, and it's a certainly legitimate process for this type of an application. It's what it's for. It's for certain types of uses that are in all of your zoning districts, and it calls this one out, among others, as a conditional use permit in a residential zone district, in all the zone districts. So this applicant is, that's why they applied for the CUP. It does help with issues that you can't foresee, and then having to deal with spot zoning, so to speak.
Thank you for that information. Do we have any further planning commissioners discussion?
Just a comment. I was just born and raised here. I was on the LA Clinic Board when they built the clinic here, and I remember the days when they said it had to be 100 feet above and away from the water because of the tsunami. I don't know where you're from, but just FYI.
Is that possibly because it was the clinic being a essential facility for emergency
service? Why do you think the city hall's up here? We used to be downtown in the middle of town, the city hall, on level ground.
Right. No, I'm asking if that was because it's an essential service in the event of emergency. So the thought was that it was, I was asking if it was moved because of, you know, in the event, whereas kind of a phone tower down in Captain's Bay is kind of a different application. It's a different, what do you say, level of necessity in.
The power is going to go out, so it's not going to work anyway, basically.
Okay, any further commissioner discussion?
I'd like to say something. I do know that people in Anchorage that have properties and they have towers around by their houses, they have problems with their TVs and stuff. So, for sure, I would like them to guarantee that people that start moving up there and buying properties from her is not going to have the same problem.
Yeah, we can talk to that. So my understanding is that we no longer, that our signal no longer interferes with TVs the way it perhaps it once did in the past, right? Or?
Yeah, that is correct. So my understanding is once the TVs went to digital, they run on completely different frequencies. I believe the TVs run on a lower frequency than what our cellular network will run on, so they should not interfere at all.
Thank you for answering that question for us. Okay, if we have no more planning commissioners' discussion, may I get a motion to approve this resolution, 2017-06?
Motion to approve resolution 2017-06.
May I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. So we've talked about this lengthy, and I'll ask one more time for any further discussion on this issue tonight. Staff, any other? Okay. May we get a roll call vote on this resolution tonight?
You have a motion to approve 2017-06 by Commissioner Swindle and seconded by Commissioner Gehring. So the roll call would be Billy Joe Gehring?
Yes.
Travis Swangle?
Yes.
Vicki Williams?
Yes.
Jessica Aronshaw?
Yes.
Lottie Roll?
No.
Vote was 4-1.
So it would pass?
Yes.
Resolution 2017-06 passes for tonight. We have no work session items tonight, and if there's any other announcements from the public for tonight.
You do have the minutes before you forget.
I'm sorry?
You have your minutes before you forget.
Oh, and we just did the minutes, though.
They did the minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Okay, hearing none, thank you for coming for tonight's meeting.